Okay, test 1, 2, test. Go ahead and say a few things.
Hi, how's it going? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson, and our guest today is Kemba Aram. Hi, Kemba.
Hi, how you doing, David?
Good, good. Welcome, welcome. So, our intention today is that we all may connect to that expanded realm of infinite consciousness of which we are. But before we get underway, let me tell you about some things happening here at the school. As we speak, we're actually in Mount Shasta doing a workshop. This is a pre-recorded show. So on this coming up Tuesday is the first class of our certificate program and associate degree program in sound healing. So that's Tuesday, September 2nd. And it's 3 nights a week and some weekends. We've got about a dozen different instructors. And it's really about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And there's still room in the class if you can make it over here to San Francisco. And it's really quite transformative program. And the certificate program goes till the middle of December, and that's the first semester of the associate degree program, which is 4 semesters. We also have the same program online, and that's starting September 9th. And that's 2 nights a week, and then Saturday mornings as well, Tuesday and Thursday nights, and then Saturday mornings. And that program is also a certificate and associate degree program, and it works really well. We do toning and chanting, we do healings on each other. It's actually a very cool program, and that's starting September 9th, if you want to get into that program. And then we also have our store here. If you go to soundoflove.com, you can get information on all of our crystal bowls and all the different sound healing instruments and technologies we have here. And also, all the different treatments we have are at soundtherapycenter.com. We've got a lot of treatments we do here, but treatments online as well. But the big thing we have, for the classes, you can find them at soundhealingcenter.com, and that's our main website, soundhealingcenter.com. Or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com or call me at 415-777-2486. But the big thing we have happening is the Sound Healing Conference, and that's at Globe Sound Healing Conference. GlobeSoundHealingConference.com. And that's September 26th to the 29th here actually in Oakland, just across the Bay Bridge, like 10 minutes away from San Francisco. And it's at a really beautiful facility that's got a theater and breakout rooms inside, but then there's this beautiful outdoor park as well that's on the 5th floor. And so we're going to be using the park. It'll hold about 2,000 people, and it's adjacent to the building. It's actually a private park on the 5th floor of the building. So we're doing an outdoor festival as well as the indoor festival. We've got the outdoor part is only $25 for 2 days, whereas if you want to do the indoor part, it's I think it's about $280 now for just the conference and the concerts. And but there's a lot of different options. You can do single day, you can do concerts, you can do the conference or the festival or everything. So again, that's at globesoundhealingconference.com. And one of our main presenters here is Kemba. And so we're going to be talking about what she's going to be presenting, but first I'd like to find out about your background. How did you come to be the person you are, Kemba?
It's quite a story. So I will just focus on the most pertinent points and condense as well as I can. But basically, I came into this world in a family that was very academic and open-minded, but you know, not spiritual oriented per se. You know, I was just kind of going to college and following the path that I thought was to be my future, which was, my plan was to be a medical doctor. My father was a medical doctor, and it was kind of the thing, you just always have a doctor in the family. So my brother went into music, and a lot of people in my family have been very involved with music, but someone had to be the doctor. So I just kind of, you know, went along that path. And I also, you know, was a musician, but I was a very shy child, and actually I still am a very introverted being. I loved music, and I would go off and play piano, and I was trained in classical piano and silver flute, but it was my medicine. I didn't want to play for anyone else. It was kind of how I rejuvenated myself and how I retreated from the world from a very young age. So I didn't think of it as a profession, even though it came naturally to me and I loved it. My mind was kind of ruling the show. And so through college, I studied molecular cellular biology. I was pre-med. And in the last semester, actually, I was just about to graduate in 92. I was 21. And this is a whole nother diversion story, which I won't go into, I didn't have language for what happened to me at this time. But after this experience, which I call my awakening, I started to read voraciously because I didn't have any guides or mentors, and no one I could talk to about this. And my parents thought I had kind of lost it, but I realized after I found Raymond Moody's book called Life After Life that I had all of the characteristics in this thing that happened of a near-death experience. But it was even more than that, because not only was I given a life review, I was given a life preview. And I was shown that on the path that I was on, it's kind of like the feeling I got was like, your karma or your energy is like this boulder rolling down a hill, and it's going at a certain momentum in a certain direction. And if you don't change that momentum and that direction, this is where you end up. It's just physics on some level. And I saw this whole thing fractally, holographically, and then I ended up back in, and like I said, if we go into that story, we won't have much time left. So, so what happened was I came back, you know, from this experience, a completely different person, completely changed. And I didn't know what to do with my life. I was really a baby. I guess you could say born again, but I don't mean that in the way that it's used often in religious circles. It was like I could walk, I had a personality, but I had to really reevaluate every moment of my life in a completely different way, and I had no foundation anymore. It just, my mind was completely blown into the vastness of the universe. I basically returned to source and became that which we are, which is this infinite, unbounded, and it's beyond anything that words can touch. And they're on the return, which is agonizing. And this is another feature of people who've had near-death experiences. Like, once you've touched that again, and then you return into a body fully formed, not a reborn as a baby. I mean, that's a whole nother story of what that's like. But if you're a fully grown human and you return, it's a lot to, 'cause you understand, you know, that you're returning to a body that will age and will die, and everything and everyone that you love will decay away, because you're returning to a realm in which that's the physics of it. That's the third dimension, third density. So it's agonizing in a way. And yet there's this refueling of like, okay, I'm here and now I got to live and I have to do what? And then I found Joseph Campbell's work, and he said, you know, when he synthesized the teaching of all the cultures of the world, they said, follow your heart.
I studied Joseph Campbell really in detail, and even did a mock TV show when I was in college about Joseph Campbell.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, the hero's journey has become a real, what he outlined and how he found that was like the blueprint. I've been studying that more and more, especially lately that I'm working with conscious dying and mm-hmm. that whole journey through the bardos and what the different cultures say about that. And the hero's journey is a very applicable model for what I went through in my near-death experience, mm. our whole journey of life, and what we go through in between death and birth. And so part of what I feel that I was given in this experience and my new life purpose, which was very clearly not to be a medical doctor immediately, I knew that all of this training in molecular and biology, and I was top of my class, you know, I was just about, I had everything in place for the rest of life planned out. And it was like, it wasn't even a consideration of a possibility. It wasn't even like, it was no choice. I mean, it's really hard to explain this because really it was like I was a different person, and mm-hmm. this new person, or who I really was that was uncovered through this, knew nothing except that I needed to live in a completely different way. Uh-huh. And the 4 years that followed that were quite, I would say, tumultuous from an outer person's.
So you said you were just at the point where you were saying that this experience, you'd realize that there's no way you could continue your life. And that was really about the way you were. And so that's about where you were. You didn't really get into the next step at all.
Okay. So so during that time, I just had this sense of knowing certain things, but I didn't know why I had to do them. And one of the things I knew was that I wasn't going to be a medical doctor or use my molecular biology in any way with my life directly as an occupation, but I knew that I had to get my degree and finish it. Mm-hmm. And I realized why later. And it was because one day I was walking to class, and I was in the last semester, like I said, of just about to graduate. I was going to organic chemistry and melting into the trees on the way because I developed a very strong relationship with trees, and I was very much not in my body for some time after this experience. So I would get sucked into trees and just fall into them for, it was timeless. And I'd be like, no, and pull myself out. I got to get to class. You know, I'm going to be late. It was just such a trippy thing. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, going to this school anymore. But I was walking to class, and this one day I saw this lady. She was on campus, and she had a long wooden pipe lying next to her, and she was doing like hair wraps. She was not a student there, kind of like hippie, kind of hanging out on the campus. And I was magnetically drawn to this thing, and I had never seen one before, but I knew it was an instrument. And I went up to her and I said, what is that? And she said, this is a dream pipe. And she said that her partner makes these. He's the first person to make them in the United States out of the agave stock that grows in Arizona. It was a didgeridoo. And I said, play it for me. So this was 92. You know, the didgeridoos were not common back then. Uh-huh. And she played it for me. And I heard the sound, and it was literally like a key turning and opened a door. There was something in that sound. And I looked at her and I said, I need one of those now. What the cost? I need that in my life. It was such a, it was the only thing that made sense to me. And the next day I met with her partner and bought one, and I could actually play it right away. I learned circular breathing in a week. Within a week, I woke up one morning and I could do it. I actually, literally in the dream time, it came to me.
Wow.
But I mean, it was, of course, years of teaching myself how to refine the breath and smooth it out and the different sounds. I mean, the first 4 years were a whole rewiring of my entire inner being. And the didgeridoo was the primary tool that I used. And I could hear through the biofeedback of the sound, as I played it, how I was doing inside. It was like a feedback device showing my inner harmony. and the state of my chakras and my nervous system and the nadis and the meridians. And I didn't have words for any of this back then. I just knew that I had to play this thing as much as I could all the time. And it was by my side. I mean, Okay. And to this day, I always have a didgeridoo around, usually more than one. I have moved into the quartz crystal didgeridoos that I've designed and have experimented with different styles and lengths of the quartz crystal. And that's become my favorite incarnation of the didgeridoo, because the overtones and the harmonics in the quartz crystal, which is my style of playing, is very much into the harmonics and the overtones, because actually in any instrument or even the use of the voice, harmonic singing is, there's something about the harmonics that has access, I feel, to the fields that are more subtle around us. Like if our physical body is, to me, I think of it as like the fundamental tone, like a didgeridoo has a fundamental tone. Uh-huh. And that's the physicality based on the length and the diameter and the density of the material. But on top of that fundamental tone are all these harmonics and overtones. And to me, that's where everything is going on.
Can we talk about that in more detail?
Yeah.
When you play, I assume there's two different experiences. There's one of what you feel when you're playing it, and one of what you see is going on with other people. But so I guess as far as what you feel, as far as the so to break it down into different components. So first of all, there's the note of the didge. So do you find that different notes are like really completely different for you?
Fundamental notes of the didge?
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely I feel that we're each unique vibratory being, so that which notes resonate with us depending on the details of that particular instrument might be unique slightly to each person.
Yeah. I would bet you're a B as far as your soul note.
Mhm.
What didge note do you like the best?
Well, you know, that's a really hard question. With didgeridoos, you kind of end up with what you have. I don't make them to a note. You make them to, you know, like they're wooden, and like I have this one didgeridoo, which actually is a bee. It's my probably equally as it's a wooden one, but it grew in a spiral, and it was made by my first teacher, who I told you about in my story that I met. Very difficult to carve out this thing, and it was his medicine pipe. He called it the medicine pipe. I inherited this from him somehow. It's with me. It's got its own life force. This is an amazing being, and that is a bee. But other than that, my other favorite dig that I resonate with is actually, it's between E and F somewhere. And I know it's interesting because there's no note between E and F. It's like E sharp or F flat, but there is no sharp or flat between those notes. So it's kind of interdimensional to me, and it matches the crystal bowl. I play them together, and it just happened by synchronicity to match a big bowl that I've used for years. And when I had the pipe made, and that pipe has broken a few times. I call it the Chiron pipe because it's been fixed after breaking, and its sound just gets better, you know, through all the places it's been in. It's been all over the world, and it absorbs, I think, all of the crystal holds that information and somehow conveys also in the sound of it.
Cool. So now as far as the harmonics, how do they affect you? I mean, is it affecting you, your auras? Is it affecting you physically, mentally, emotionally? Or is it like a whole nother dimension that it's affecting you on? And how would you say that, how would you describe it in more detail?
And do you mean me or the person I'm working with, or both of us?
You first.
Well, I mean, that's the best way I could describe it is from my own experience. And, I do have a left brain that's very active, but when I work with sound and over the years, I really have cultivated my right brain in the sense of the intuitive knowledge, knowing besides what physics would say about this and that. And I think there's a place for that as well. And I try to balance the two hemispheres of the brain in their gifts. And I think circular breathing actually does work with both hemispheres of the brain somehow, connecting the corpus callosum. But so my perspective is based on my experience mainly. And I feel that harmonics and overtones, we're using those words interchangeably, to me, they're dimensional gateways. And my experience from my experience of what that is when I'm playing the fundamental note, and like I said, with the crystal, I can really hear audibly the harmonics much more clearly. So when I'm playing just for myself, which is still my primary medicine, just my own experience with the sound, is that it I can feel it kind of as I go through the different octaves of harmonics, depending on its range, how far it can go, but it's touching upon my mental body, my emotional body, and my spiritual body, and my physical body is doing the work of creating the tone. But that combination of making those all connected, it's like the fluidity. It's kind of like water. And
How
we're
much of it
mostly.
is your consciousness and intention while you're playing it? Or is it just the frequencies they take off on their own?
Well, it depends on the situation. If I'm playing by myself, my intention is going to be different than if I'm playing with a group of people or if I'm working with an individual in a sound session privately. So all of those intentions are going to be a slightly different. When I'm just playing for myself, I think that for me, water, we just finished a movie on water and I scored it. Water is like a key element to consider, because the way of water, which is also a Taoist approach, is that the way that water mimics the space-time structure and also the movement of energy of the yin and yang within our bodies, and everything that lives has this kind of polarity integrating, and water is showing us that middle ground. And what I feel with the harmonics, and when I'm flowing through the harmonics, especially with the crystal didge, what it's doing for me personally with my intention is I'm touching into my fluid nature that connects my emotions to my mental body, to my spiritual body, to my physical body. And that's the key, is like for me, the didgeridoo is very physically harmonizing. And that's a key piece in connecting, because sometimes we just separate ourselves from our higher selves and all the, I mean, we're not actually separate, but in our consciousness, we feel separate from our spiritual self or these other aspects. And for me, the healing that is brought to me through the sound is harmonizing and connecting and fluidizing, I guess you could say, all of these bodies through the harmonics. To me, that's what the harmonics are doing when I'm playing. And I would assume this is doing this for other people, perhaps, is that when they're hearing these sounds and we're working together in this field of the sound current flowing, that we are just connecting to the infinite flowing nature of life. And we're connected to our spiritual body and all the everything in between. And that's when we're in this flow where there's just health, and there's, all of the qualities that we aspire to are a result of connecting to the fluid nature of our being, of which we are mostly water.
Do
So,
other beings sometimes show up and help?
I
Angels or ascended masters or guides or anything?
For me, to be honest, I don't see things really. It's very I have, but it's very rare. I hear
Cool.
things, and especially increasing with the last few years, in some kind of alarming at first ways, but I welcome it at the same time. Is I do feel that beings show up, and I hear them show up in their just different tones, and they're beyond the audible range because you hear them better with the ears plugged. Other people that I work with, usually in a private session, almost invariably, they will identify people that showed up. And some of them all point to the same one, and they say, I didn't feel like it was my guided felt, it was yours. And they saw them and describe them. And so I know that they're there. Or they say, you know, I felt you holding my feet, like when I'm doing Reiki at a certain point, because sometimes I integrate that. And then you walked away, and I felt your hands were still there, you know. Cool. And I've heard that so many times. I'm like, that's cool. Because at the beginning of the session, that's who I call in. I just like, I'm like, I need help. You know, I really, I'm just a humble, whatever, human being. But if there are any guides or spirit beings or my higher self or anyone who can assist in the healing of and harmonizing of this person who I'm working with on their behalf, I totally welcome them, because I really do feel like we could all use all the help we can get in this dimension. So that I would definitely guess, even though I can't say, yes, I saw this and this ascended master or spiritual being. I have other people who have said that visually they heard them. I saw them, and I would hear them. So I don't know. Does that make sense?
Sure. So you do quite a few different things. So you do, is your main thing is you do treatments on people, and then you also do audio recording, and then you put out CDs, and what else? Tell us about all the different things you do now.
Now lately I've been moving into, I just scored my first movie.
Oh, cool.
And so I do audio engineering, and I like having the paintbrush. Like I said, I have this left part of my brain that like can really focus on technical things. So if I know how to engineer, I work with Pro Tools and Logic, and I can actually paint the sound in the way that I hear it. And then I started working with other musicians, so I've been actually hiring musicians. Kind of the new phase of my musical production career the last few years has been composing and bringing in other musicians. And that's been a whole new because I used to do everything, like all the music, all the, even at the beginning, I did all of the recording, all of the graphic design, printed each CD by hand, recorded, played every single instrument, mixed it from start to final product. I didn't have anybody else involved. But this was starting in, you know, the 2000, you know, 2002. Now it's, I'm in a different phase, and also there's many more resources also for distribution. But now, you know, the most recent phase, I'm liking working with other musicians and other projects and adding the creations that I do to visual, you know, to documentaries or in whatever direction. That's only been the last few years that I've been doing scoring.
And you did learning a lot. You did a whole thing with Andrew Weil as well, right?
We have four productions that we've done through Sounds True. And I've taught at his integrative medicine program in Arizona a number of times.
Oh, cool. What did you teach there?
Well, actually, I taught a little bit on... It was funny because he had a group of medical doctors who were in his integrative medicine program, and I was explaining to Dr. Weil that I think these doctors, it would be really good for them to have their own tool to work with just for their own personal practice, not perhaps they're going to use this or teach it or anything. So we did a didgeridoo workshop with these doctors, and they all made didgeridoos and learned how to play them, and it was a lot of fun because they got to be like little kids again, which they don't have a lot of room for. And I've also toured with him on his book tour and did music for his talks and that kind of thing. So that's kind of we've been weaving in and out of each other's lives over the last 20 years. So
cool. So you do treatments on people as well right now? I mean, do you have like a whole therapy business, kind of sound therapy?
Yeah, that's how I first actually started. Everything that I'm doing started with working on people individually with sound. I built my first sound table in 1999 or 2000, I got a big board because that's all I could like afford back then, and got these bass shakers from Aura. They're for a home entertainment system, and you place them on the underside of the board, and the person's like on the floor, and then hooked up a CD player to that, so it goes feet. Now I have live mics that go into the sound table. It's much more like high tech.
So you play the dig straight into the sound table?
Now I do, but back then what started was just playing in their fields around them with the various instruments that I would use. I would use four-chamber flute, Native American flute. The dig has always been my main instrument. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of says everything that I have to say. But, you know, I think these other instruments with their array of harmonics and overtones, I always tend toward harmonic instruments that, like the waterphone. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the waterphone. I have a large, it sounds like whales in outer space. It has water in the bottom, and you play it with a boat, and it has rods of different lengths, and it creates these harmonics that bounce off the surface of the water in the bottom. It's like a metal instrument that the bass container holds water, and so it's basically all water overtoning.
Oh, cool.
And the rods send the vibration different lengths. There's maybe 40 different lengths rods. And when you bow it with the bass bow, it sends the vibrations into the water, and that is amplified and goes through the central. It looks like some weird thing from another planet. It's a very interesting instrument. But I always incorporate these different kinds of odd instruments that I find into the sound therapy, because I really trust in the sound, and I also trust in my intuition. So when I work with, and that's what I've been working on all these years, is how to get my mind, which can be very strong, out of the way and not think, and work with this knowingness. And so when I step into a session with the person and I do all the opening invocations, which I've inherited from the Native American and the Hawaiian and South American traditions, after this field is set, then I just try to get out of the way. And I'm getting better and better at it over the years. Mm-hmm. And then I have all these instruments that I apply in the field of the person, and I really trust that the sound goes where it needs to, and that the person's field receives where and when and what it needs to. It's more complex than our mind, the local mind, could even begin to process.
Right.
So I understand that, so I don't try to let my mind try to figure it out, because it's just way beyond anything we could even talk about, which goes back to my awakening experience. What I was shown is like, whatever it is that I'm here to do, that is my particular gift, and everybody has their own dharma or whatever you call it, that's one thing that is their particular light, the piece of the creator incarnated. Follow your heart, you know, do that one thing, find it and do it. And it may not just be one occupation, it's really who you are. And you're emanating that vibration all the time. But for me, it was beyond words. Whatever it is that I'm here, you know, and I talk about this, and I do interviews, and I do workshops, but whatever I'm here to do, it's not something you can even begin to put into words. And so that's why I love when I can be with a group of people and step into the sound, and then show up in that way as like, this is what I'm here to do, and now I can speak. And whatever, however it gifts people, And the reflections I have gotten over the years shows me this is, keep going. People are reflecting, this is what you are here to do, because of the feedback. Everything is based on a feedback mechanism. And that's how the universe speaks to us. You know, if the door is closed in a certain direction, that's not the direction to go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like water. You flow where, you know, things are harmonized. And so I just know that what I'm doing with sound is what I came here to do. And I can't even describe what it is.
I got one question about it that it's interesting. You know, we've got a lot of people here that do different types of treatments, and I do treatments as well. In fact, we've got Emmanuel who's, you know, worked on like 70 people with cancer, and only like 5 of them still have cancer, and full range. And some people are more about breaking up the stuck energy, and others are more about harmonizing the flow. And then there's many that are do a combination. Like I often start off harmonizing the flow, and then if I feel there's something to break up, I'll break it up. and then at the end harmonize again. Although, you know, again, just like you say, the whole deal is to get out of the way and just let it happen, which I've also gotten much better at. So do you find, it sounds like you're doing a lot of harmonizing, although the didge is often known for breaking up stuck energy. So any thoughts as to what often happens when you do it, whether you end up doing breaking up energy or harmonizing? Different people focus on what's wrong and they break it up, and it may not even be a conscious focus, it's just what happens. And others focus on total harmonizing what's right, whether it be compassion, gratitude, love, flow of spirit, flow of your soul, or just flow of source.
When I do a private session, I do work with the rattle at the beginning. Uh-huh. And to me, the rattle is enough for what I do and I also work with sage, and the intention at the very beginning is a place of like stepping through that the membrane, you know, and that when you are breaking through that shell, you know, and that first entry is where I would do any kind of breaking up energy consciously. When I do use the didgeridoo, I feel that later on in the session and in different parts, it has a combination of, depending what comes through, because it's always different on what's happening with that sound for that particular person. Sure. But what I love, in reference to what you're saying about the didgeridoo, that, and specifically in the style that I use it, is that, and what I also love about the crystal didgeridoo, which is just, I mean, it so fits.
The crystal didgeridoo it's kind of like a crystal bowl in the shape of a didgeridoo, huh?
Yeah, it looks just like a didgeridoo, long, you know, 5 foot long, but, you know, tapered. It took a while to get the geometry right, many models and trials and errors, but finally we just said copy nature. That's what Victor Schauberger, the water wizard, said, copy nature, and that's what worked, is how nature, I think it's a phi ratio, the way that something bells out, like in a stalk of a plant, a cactus stalk, for example. So we use that model of how it tapers the actual growth outward.
Cool.
And that it's very important for the sound. But for me, what I was saying about the crystal as far as breaking up or harmonizing is that, like, quartz crystal is mostly, you know, what much of the earth is made out of. And the earth is pretty much, besides that, a water planet. So a lot of life on this planet is based on water. And I toured with Dr. Emoto. He's in our movie. I've had a very long relationship with him, and I toured Japan and worked with him there. Mm-hmm. And he, his work, he kind of introduced the concept of, like, we are mostly water, and look, cymatics and that kind of thing, how water is structured and changed by intention, by sound, and all of these things. So what I feel is happening in our bodies when it's exposed to certain sound is, you know, water doesn't need to be per se broken up. It's not like if there are crystals in the body that get crystallized, you know, like a kidney stone or something, that's another story if it becomes that hard. But mostly what we are is water, and water is modeling space-time, which is what we are, you know, what everything is space. And so if we harmonize ourselves and change and flow within the molecules of our body, which are water, the change can happen instantaneously.
Cool.
And, you know, we've seen the forms with Hans Jenny's, you know, when one geometry goes to the next geometry as the frequency shifts. That you can consider as it goes into that chaos for a second before the new form takes shape. That could be a kind of breaking up energy, but it's not in the physical way that we are conditioned to think of things as breaking down. It's like they're just in a phase change, you know, but it's all happening in a fluid medium. So it's kind of, they're both going on in a way. We're phase changing, and that's the shifting frequencies that brings harmony, is is what we're doing with sound, basically. And of course, we know the intention is what holds it all together.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, so tell us about what you're going to do at the conference, what your workshop is going to be about.
Well, okay, so I've had, you know, I've been working with sound for, you know, in this way since, you know, the beginning of the 90s or middle of the 90s. And, you know, I've kind of been in this field of sound therapy and teaching and studying and all of these things. However, the last year, starting on July 4th last year in 2013, something very interesting happened to me. This is another story, but it's just very short. I can describe what happened. Is I did this initiation with a man that I hadn't heard of or met before, and through synchronicity had come into my life. His name is Kiara Windrider, and we actually just 2 weekends ago did a workshop together. But before that, we had just met last year, and so he did this thing. It's kind of a light activation. It's not touching the physical body. It's intended to awaken the light body and activate dormant parts of the brain, like the, you know, in the pineal, the medulla, and the pituitary, and harmonize these different parts of us that may be a little bit dormant, using this technique that he teaches. So anyway, we did an exchange. I did a sound session, and he did this activation on me. And at the end of this session that he did, it takes about 20 minutes, all of a sudden I started to hear this sound. And I said to him, I said, I'm hearing a sound. And he said, and he's from India, so he has this Indian accent. He's like, oh, it's the sound of the silence. You know, he said, and I'm like, oh, it's interesting, you know. I hear sounds a lot, and they come and go, though. They don't, you know, hang around for more than 20 seconds. And these are, like, way above the hearing range. I hear them sometimes in one ear, sometimes in the other. And this was different. It was very, very, very high, but pretty, like, audible, but I wasn't hearing it with my ears, like these other sounds. And so I was like, okay, I figured it would stop, you know.
Is it like a consistent, is it like a consistent tone, or is it a melody, or is it multiple harmonics?
If I go into it, it has more than one tone. And I've been able to identify about three, but they're very close to each other. But this sound has been with me since then, so it's been a year plus. That, and the first month it was like I didn't know what to do, because my nervous system, I was getting weird eye twitches and weird things with my solar plexus, my chakras were, it was very uncomfortable. And I figured it's got to be part, it was my nervous system kind of reacting to this continual very, very, very high sound that I couldn't tune out. And so I got a little scared after like 3 weeks. I was like, oh no, this is like not going to stop, you know? And then I started to pathologize it, like medical industry wants to put everything in a box and say, well, this is a problem. And then I found through synchronicity, and this is a whole nother divergent path of the Kundalini yoga and Kriya. SRF, mm-hmm. Self-Realization Fellowship, and they both have very, very deep ancient traditions talking about this particular thing, which I had never heard of. I had heard the term Nada Brahma before, which means the universe is sound. But I never really, it didn't ring a bell, I guess you could say. It was just like, I understand everything is vibration, but this is different. I am experiencing what the physicists would call the background radiation, which is how we know the Big Bang started. There's a
It's nice. It's not annoying now.
Oh no. I mean, I had to just, my mind had to go through an adjustment period, but It's actually been such an amazing gift.
Wow.
It's completely changed my life. And I think it's always been there, but somehow I never was able to hear it, you know, and I think it's there for everyone because it's the
background. How has it changed your life?
Wow. You really want to get into that?
Oh yeah, because I mean, this, if we resonate this energy, because ultimately I think everybody's got such a sound that we're just not hearing, and it may just open up. Also, it may, I mean, it probably already might help somebody think they're not crazy too.
Oh yes, this I've already found and magnetized a number of people, not a lot, but a few people, because I don't talk about this much, but so who knows how many people, but and talking about their experience, and they're like, oh wow, I'm not crazy, and this is something that I can actually work with in a positive way, because my research, which I have been doing, and this is what my presentation, which is what you asked me originally, is going to be in part focused on, is the whole history of, and this has been hidden in the esoteric tradition of pretty much every spiritual culture that we know of on the planet. But they didn't reveal this except to the inner circles of their initiates. And they believe that this teaching of how to hear it, I think we live in time where more and more people will naturally hear it because of the frequency increase and the planetary awakening that's happening. But back then, and over the last centuries, this was reserved. It was work to uncover the sound, to hear it all the time, ideally. And then you can start to work with it in deeper and deeper ways. And there's teachings on this. And like I said, it's only been a year. I've been working with sound full time for 20 years. I think it was just preparing me to even begin this journey, which has just begun in the last year of uncovering. And one of the things that's, I think it'll be different for each person, but one of the interesting things it's tuning me into is, they say, know thyself, right? This whole saying of the spiritual adept. It's a whole new level of that. And in ways, I don't know if we should go into much detail on this show, because it's a little hard to talk about to anybody some of the stuff that is being revealed to me about my origins. Not just my origins, though, but humanity's origins. And
So
this
it's like,
involves.
so these frequencies are like a portal to information then?
For me, they are. And what I found very, very interesting, and this came in this piece. There's been so many pieces in the last year that have been, it's like a jigsaw puzzle that all the pieces come in slowly, and then you start to see the picture, but you can't quite make out exactly what it is. The picture's starting to form for me, but it hasn't fully come into view. And one of the pieces that came in after the sound about 6 months ago, was I was like, the 4th of July, I think it was through synchronicity, which is what I like to follow, is that 4th of July, turns out, is the day it was the Egyptian New Year. And this is when the sound started for me. And the Egyptian New Year is when we align with Sirius, which I did not know then, and which I'm learning now with through my research, is that, good chance that a lot of us here, if not all of humanity, could have been seeded from origins not originally from Earth. And I mean, I've always been open and had a little piece of knowledge about the whole world of ET and UFO and all the Pleiadians and the Arcturians and the Sirians. But this is different. What's happening now, and I definitely feel it's connected to this sound. I don't know if the sound I'm hearing originates from Sirius or not, but there's definitely a new awareness that has never been with me before around that possibility, my connection to it, and the bigger picture of humanity's connection. And I know there are people who have studied this for years. There's the Dogons, and there's so many different avenues that have information. But this is different because I'm a kind of Gnostic by nature. I really trust information, especially with the overload of the internet and everything. I trust information if it comes from the inside first, and then it's verified later from the outside, not vice versa, because I don't trust it vice versa. So that's what's happening even more with this sound, is I'm getting all kinds of different information, not just on extraterrestrial origins or my own and who I really am and who we are, but many, many different things. And I think this sound is the key, literally, to tapping into stored records that are in the field that we all have access to, but we may not be conscious of. And so my intention for the presentation that I do at the conference is to connect people to the sound current through some of the techniques that have been taught through these esoteric traditions. But also, what I feel is that the crystal didgeridoo for me, if you were to take that up 40 octaves, that's what I'm hearing. Uh-huh. It sounds to me like a crystal didge 40 octaves way beyond the hearing range.
Wow. So you're, and, oh, you're talking way above 20,000 hertz even then.
Oh, yeah. No, this is... God. Like, if I plug my ears is when I hear it the best, you know,
it's interesting. I used to work with this psychic who would, you know, cruise through the body on the phone, and she was really powerful. And she said she had a tone generator that she would tune to something like 40,000 hertz, way above our hearing, to be able to tune in to other people's consciousness, to hold her stable at that super high frequency. If you thought about trying to record it, I know you maybe like, you know, like 10 octaves down and reproduce it, that because perhaps it might affect people in a certain way if you could get the musical intervals between the three sounds. You never know.
Yeah, if I could identify the note, I mean, it's so high, it's like beyond tuning. You know, it's that exact kind of sound. You know, and I also, before this sound started about 5 years ago, on the land we live up in the mountains in this valley, no neighbors, nothing, in the middle of like nowhere. Uh-huh. And I had started to take this gold that was, it's kind of another long story, but it was found at the pyramids. This white powdered gold that had been passed down through certain people who were able to procure small amounts of it and suspended in some liquid, just like literally like nanomolecule size of this very, very almost homeopathic amounts. And they're like, but be careful with it because, you know, you might start to hear, you know, your neighbor's thoughts and stuff, because that has happened with people. I'm like, well, we don't have any neighbors, so I wasn't worried about that. but what did happen within a week is I started to hear this sound, and this was a different sound. This was way below the hearing range.
Oh.
And the reason I knew it is I could plug my ears and I could hear it, but nobody else could hear it. And I had different people on the land and my partner, and, you know, no one else could hear it. And I'm like, I know it's not in my head because it's not other places. It's just in this certain area of the land. But I couldn't prove it. So finally, after a number of months, I found somebody who is locally, who has this special equipment that can measure these kind of frequencies, earth frequencies. And lo and behold, he measured it. And it definitely... was a sound, and it was showing up as I was hearing. It was showing up on his meter in this certain area.
What frequency so was it?
It was like 18 hertz or 6. Uh-huh. I guess it wasn't that much lower below the hearing range, but you know, no one could hear it. I couldn't hear it with my ears, but what I realized is that I was hearing it probably through my bones, because, you know, the house was conducting it through the land. Whatever this vibration is, you know, it's probably, and it's an enigma. We don't know what it is. It's definitely here, but I couldn't tune that one out for a while. I have learned, because it kept me up for a while, like for days, for weeks. I was not able to sleep.
Wow.
So, you know, I think that we have other faculties. Like they say, we have a third eye, the pineal gland. I actually think we have a third ear. Mm-hmm. And probably even a third, you know, olfactory sense or whatever, extra sensory perceptions that might be connected to the pineal and other glands. But, you know, when it gets activated, it's like, you know, be prepared, because it could change your life. Uh-huh. But I wanted this, you know, I brought it on. So here we are.
Cool. So, you know what? Do you have a song that you would like to play? Because we could actually get them to play it in the show here. If you send me it, not now, you would send me the MP3 and we can have them play it.
Okay. Sure. After we get off, I'll send you that, yeah?
Okay, do you know about how long it is?
I would say I'll look here. I think it's a couple minutes long.
Okay, cool. Then we probably got about 5 minutes left then.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'll just
Well,
have them play it at the end.
that sounds great. I'll
Okay.
send it to you in a second. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you're gonna talk about
Whoops. Sorry.
okay.
Pulling it up too soon. Go ahead.
So you're gonna be talking about the sound stream and the history of the sound stream and different traditions that look at that in the workshop. And what else? You'll be playing the didge, huh?
I will. Well, we are going to do so a part of it will be a group sound journey,
Okay.
and I'll use the crystal didge and some other instruments that I bring that have harmonic-based instruments and the crystal bowls. But that will be woven in because I don't want it to be only talk. And like I said, I think my gift that I was given that I a reminder of what I'm here to express is most clearly expressed through the sound of the didgeridoo, and especially the crystal didge. And I've had a hard time recording it in a way that I felt really pleased with because it's one note, and the spectrum of sound is so vast that to capture it and dumb it down the way we do, I feel it's like I've been having trouble feeling good with the recordings. So in my CDs, although I am working right now on a crystal didgeridoo CD, finally, but I've always, because I wasn't really happy with it, I focused on blending it in with the other instruments that I play, like the four-chamber flute and Native American flute. So I will be bringing some of these other instruments for the sound journey, but I do want it to be experiential. So some of the talk will lead into an experience, and then we'll go back into more, discussion of how to integrate what we experienced into these ancient teachings of the sound current, how these spiritual, mystical inner circles discuss this, how they refer to it, and how we can work with it in our lives to refine ourselves, to amplify our spiritual evolution, because that's what it's about. It's to help us to tune into our own inner sound, which is ultimately the sound of the cosmos, which created us, out of which we have been manifested.
Cool.
So that'll be the focus of the workshop, and then we'll end with a group intentional healing prayer to send that out to the earth, because I feel that any gathering of beings who come together in the name of harmony, it's a powerful energy, and we can always harness that and offer that at the end to
Oh,
for the
cool.
healing of the nations and the world. And that's how I like to finish any group that I do, workshop or sound journey or anything, just to use that energy efficiently.
Excellent, excellent, cool. I'm hoping I can break away and see it myself. So tell us how people can get in contact with you and what you have to offer as far as CDs and stuff.
Well, the best way is to go to my website. It's Gaia Earth, www.gaearth.com, and it's Gaia, the old spelling of Gaia, Gaea, merged with the new spelling of Earth. So the Gaia was the old name for Earth. Earth is the new name for Earth. So Gaia Earth is the website.com. It's kind of a full circle concept, and on there's a lot of information. It has all my CDs. I have about 10 of them in print right now. Some are out of print, and I do sound circles and locally. I don't travel as much, but I do sometimes, and I do private sessions here in Boulder. And I play at conferences, and I co-facilitate with other people who are. I feel like my, like when I do scoring, the sound is meant to complement because we're all the one being, and that's the new phase of the evolutionary process, is to unify all of our gifts to work with each other co-creatively. That's kind of what I see my work is like. I like to weave it in how it can complement what other people are presenting, so we can become more that unity consciousness, which is our destiny as a species. And it's really where we need to go to move to the next level, is how I feel about it. So that's my intention with the music.
Nice. So what's the CD? Tell us about the song that we're going to play.
I think I'll send you a song called Peace Journey. This is from my album called Peace Journey, and also a revision of it was on Self-Healing with Sound and Music, which I did with Dr. Weil. Because Peace Journey is out of print, but I do sell it with as a digital download. But this is when I was touring Japan, and I recorded this album in Japan, and it's when I first connected with Dr. Emoto. This was in like 2004, I think. And so this song is called Peace Journey, and that's what we'll be hearing. It uses the four-chamber flute, and it has a mantra in it. And that's the main instrument in this one, not focused on the didgeridoo in this piece, though.
Okay, cool. So thank you so much for joining us today. It was really, really fun speaking with you.
Thank you, David. It was nice to talk, and thanks for opening the door for me to be here. And thanks for sharing all your gifts with the world and all of the great events you're putting together and your vision for how to serve. It's really inspiring.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So once again, we return to our intention for the show, which is really infinite source energy, that of which we are. So as we listen to this recording and afterwards into the evening, we can hold that energy of that intention so that we all return to this source energy that we are, and hold it for the rest of the weekend, for the rest of the week, months to come, years to come, imagine lifetimes to come. Thanks for listening, and take care.
Thank you. Are you still there?